We're not going to let that happen to us, are we? No. Because I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I have God's favor in my life. Even in Spanish. Yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer. Y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. Now give yourselves a hand. You guys deserve it. You deserve it because you stand on God's word. Right? Okay. I'd like you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Yes, our lives are remarkable. Our lives are Christian. And we have ways before us from the Word that we're asked to live. Now, whether we live that way or not, that's a different story. But God has asked us certain things. Last night I tried to watch that movie called Troy. And, well, I messed up the recording, so I didn't get to finish it, but I didn't really get too bothered about it. But they kept saying this thing in there, they have a code of conduct, you know. You know, they'd spout off three different things. And I said, okay, I guess that's okay. But, you know, you actually have many codes of conduct as a Christian. Now, whole societies can be built on three phrases. That's what they did with Troy. But your whole society is built on the Word, specifically the church epistles. And I find it really interesting that every time I go into the Word and look and say, well, am I living like this? That the world comes and says, well, you don't need to live like that. Live like this. And it's always trying to offer me the alternative. It's amazing how it happens, but it just always seems to be right there, you know? The alternative lifestyle. Instead of being peaceful, be angry. Instead of being happy, be sad. You know, they talk about the alternative lifestyle and just say it's sex stuff. Man, I'm telling you, it's everything. Instead of being poor, be rich. Instead of being healthy, be unhealthy. And on and on and on. And it's just everywhere. But that's what we have to be sharp about. We have to know what God's Word says. And that's why I say God's Word is our code of conduct. Especially the 7th. Well, in 1 Peter chapter 2, we learned some really cool things about submitting. And God expects us to have a submissive mindset. In other words, God does not want you establishing your own rules, establishing your own way of life, and building a system around that. You remember when the miners were trapped up there, where was it, Washington or somewhere? And they, this was just this summer, and they started drilling those big old long holes, like 1,400, 1,500 feet into the earth, to see if they could put a camera down there. And they never found it. And they kept missing with those holes. They were drilling. It'd take 2 or 3 days to drill all the way, and then nothing. And they kept drilling. Well, you got to look at your life like that. Are you in such a flurry with what you do that you're just so busy drilling and putting everything around your lifestyle in such a flurry and you're missing it? You have to look like that. You have to honestly look at your life and determine that. And the Bible says that. It says that you need to look at yourself and work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Are you doing that? In the Artios, the one that I was talking talked earlier about spiritually minded, spiritually active. And that's on the, it should be on the internet early this week if Chris gets it on there. But it's all about what you do with your mind and then what you do with your life. And if you don't get that under control, you could just be missing it. And you're not going to be happy. And you're certainly not going to be living according to God's Word. Well, in 1 Peter chapter 2, we see in verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, not by God, but by the governors, and for the praise of them that do well. So the first submission is basically the laws of the land. You don't go around fighting the laws of the land. And our laws are designed to keep us safe, to protect us, to help us. And sure, there's some that are pretty weird, but I think overall we've got a pretty good system. Well, I'm not here to defend that. I'm here to defend the Word. And we see the first submission in verse 13 is every ordinance of man. Now, if there's something that contradicts God's Word and it's going to hurt you, well, that's different, okay? But in general, that's the first submission. So if you have a rebellious mindset, you have to change that. Now you're thinking, I don't know if I like that or not. That's not striking a really good chord in me because, well, I just don't want to be like that. And if you're thinking like that, now's when you've got to understand Christianity. Jesus Christ was our example. Jesus Christ was our example. And he suffered. He put up with things all the way to the point of death. He put up with things. And was our example in that. So everything wasn't peaches and cream with him. Well, he talks about that. It says in verse 15, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Okay? Your well-doing is not only a submission, but it's the Christian lifestyle. That's the bigger picture. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. Maliciousness is evil, but as the servants of God. So you are free in life because you're born again. And that's why you choose to submit. If you weren't free, I guarantee you, you wouldn't choose to submit. You wouldn't want to. But because you are free in Christ, you do have the right and you should choose to submit, but not so that you can be bad. Because some people do that. As free and not using liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. And what that cloak is, it's like throwing a veil of oblivion over your life, with the purpose of stealing another believer's freedom. You just don't do that. That's what that cloak of evil was all about and is all about. You don't want to put on a pretense so that you can hurt people. Verse 17, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. That's pretty succinct. And then he starts with the next section, servants. Be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Those are the ones that are more aggressive. Now think about it. If you were a servant, it'd probably be easy enough to serve a good guy. But if the guy wasn't so good, he's still his servant, then what are you going to do? Well, the Bible says, but awful to the froward. So you're supposed to be subject to your masters with all fear, no matter what kind of master you have, if you were a servant. Interesting. Verse 19, for this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Oh, Jerry, you don't get it. This was 2,000 years ago. This was the fighting. Okay? Let's just be honest about that. And I'm telling you, if I had a bad boss, I'd be mad. And I wouldn't sit there. Well, now wait a minute. Just a minute. The Bible says, verse 19, for this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Gosh, that's a pretty big pill to swallow. You mean if I was a servant, that I might be required to suffer wrongfully, to endure grief? How many of you guys, now let's go up a few thousand feet. How many of you guys go through situations in your life where you have to endure grief, where you really are suffering wrongfully? How many of you have ever gone through that? Well, I have. You betcha. Now, when you're in that situation, is what you're going through right or wrong? To suffer wrongfully, to endure grief. If you were suffering wrongfully, is that wrong? Or is that right? Hey, Sue. Look at that. What do you think? Well, if you're suffering wrongfully, you don't want to suffer wrongfully, but it's right to go through that, putting up with the grief and suffering wrongfully. That's a Christian way, folks. Now, our world teaches us something just the opposite. If somebody's doing something bad to you, or if you've gone through a wrongful situation, man, you better come out fighting. That's what the world teaches. It's always trying to teach us to do the opposite of what the Word says. So, no, you're not a slave. You're not serving some earthly master. But you are a doulos, a servant of Christ, serving Christ. So this still applies. So when it says, for this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, and I'm going to read what it says in the text, it's just easier to follow. If sinning and being buffeted, ye endure it. But if when you do well and endure, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. If you're right, if you're being Christian, spiritually minded, you're spiritually active, you're 100% God's way, which, by the way, is available, and then somebody comes along and you're buffeted, that's what that means, now you're going through suffering wrongfully, according to God's word, it's acceptable with God. Wow. Here's the cherry on the icing. Verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called. Oh, man, is that ever powerful? You know, there's only a few callings in the Bible. Now, people misuse that word. They say they're called to be a pianist and all this stuff, and I'm saying, no. Let's just go biblical, okay? Black and white. You're called to be born again. You're called to a gift ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teacher. Oh my gosh, but look what it says here. For even hereunto were ye called. And God's the only one that does the calling, folks. And he expects you to understand this. Wow. Just in case you didn't, in verse 21, he gives us the example of Christ. Because Christ also suffered for us, and that word suffered is an old English word and it means endured. It has a different connotation. Because Christ also endured for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. I think it takes a pretty big person to be like this. Now, the next time you're buffeted and you're starting to complain, maybe whine a little bit, maybe cry a little bit, think about this. It's God's will. It's acceptable to God that you put up with it. And if you can't remember how to put up with it, think of what Jesus Christ went through, what Jesus Christ did. And it says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Guile is that thing meaning like a baited hook. You're going to catch him on something. Whoa. He didn't do that. He did some things by revelation, but he didn't go out to hurt people. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Hey folks, you've been brought home. He's not just talking about servants serving, slaves serving some master. He's talking about you and me who were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our souls. So we've got a much higher character. We've got a much more astute code of conduct that we're supposed to follow. And it starts with submitting. And then it says in chapter 3, verse 1, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word... Wait a minute. Did you hear the word likewise? You mean I have to apply all that I just learned to this too? Yep. That's what it means. Likewise. Likewise means to follow suit with what was just taught. And that would be those previous verses. So apply the same type of rules, the same code of conduct from the servant to a master relationship now to the marriage. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. The word conversation means manner of life. You mean no guile? Reviling not again? No threatening? Yeah, that's what it means. That if any obey not the word, they also may without the word. In other words, you don't go around preaching at them. It says without the word, but it says with the manner of life. So you may be in situations where it's extremely difficult. Wives, you may feel like you're being buffeted. maybe you feel like you have one of those aggressive desires. Okay? You know, not every woman is as privileged as my wife is. Okay? Okay. No. Maybe you feel that you are slightly. Okay? That's fine. No problem. But you gotta follow the code of conduct. Hey, it's not easy to be married to somebody like me. Okay? And it's not easy to be married to any guy. That's just the way it is. If you're supposed to be working toward the one flesh, I guarantee you it's going to be work. That's not going away. I don't care what lifetime says. It's not easy all the time. We are spoiled and sometimes bratty about it because I'm telling you, the world out there is teaching it, and it's a lie. But we're constantly barraged with this stuff that our lives are supposed to be a utopia 100% of the time. Folks, you can just forget that. That's not the way it is. The Bible's pretty clear on that one too. It says that we're all going to go through trials and temptations and crazy stuff that makes us wonder, you know? And it says, and don't think you're the only one. Because the rest of the brethren in the world go through it too. So we gotta get that spoiled bratty attitude out of our heads and get real about our Christian life. Because when the rubber hits the road, either you're gonna start flying down it or you're gonna stumble and fall. Now which one do you want? If you wanna move and groove and sail along in the heights of the spiritual life that Jesus Christ made available, you've got to be willing to accept some of this stuff and get rid of that bratty, spoiled attitude that says everything's always supposed to be perfect, and if it's not, I'm just going to whine. I'm going to throw a tantrum. Okay? And it talks about the conversation of the wives when the wives run into something with their, well, let's just say, little left. Okay? While they, the husbands, behold your chaste conversation, which is manner of life. Chaste means holy. So, while the husbands behold your holy manner of life coupled with fear or respect to God and His Word, and they're just looking. They're not listening. They're looking. While they're doing this, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. It doesn't say that that's wrong, but it does say that that's not what's going to get them to change. You could be the, you know, Barbie beauty queen or something. That's not going to get your husband to change, even if he acts like it is. Honey, I want you to lose one more pound on your hips. Okay? Then we can talk. That didn't go over very well. Verse 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible of a meek and quiet spirit which is in the sight of God of great price. So, here we go. They still might not be listening and you're supposed to be doing this without the word. In other words, you're not beating them up with Bible verse after Bible verse. But you are living the example. Now, you think that's going to be easy? That's a serious decision. Yeah. But you can do it. And it says, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. In other words, when you get buffeted in your married situation, you don't get afraid and just blown out of the water and start throwing a tantrum. Okay. Hey, these are pretty tall orders. I think it's pretty clear. But they're tall orders. Okay, guys. Likewise, ye husbands. Now we have that interesting word, likewise. So men, you're not supposed to throw tantrums. You're not supposed to have guile, baited hook, trying to catch your wife on stuff. You're not supposed to cloak yourself in good-looking things, but have a little evil intent. Likewise, you're not supposed to revile if she reviles you. Likewise, you're not supposed to threaten if you have to suffer a little bit. Yeah. Paul orders again. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Men, the woman is not asked to know you, but you're asked to know her. Wow. Giving honor unto the wife. I'm not going to honor her. She won't even submit. No. That's not her. Men, you are supposed to be the head of the house. Period. Jeremy, when you get married, you're supposed to be the head of the house. Period. That's how it works. You don't have a choice in that. Now, you can refuse to do it, but that's not choice. That's stupidity. As soon as you stop doing what God's word says, you bring havoc into your life. And that's a fact. So, get to know her as head of the house, no matter how she's acting. Because it all works perfectly according to God's word if you're both doing this. Or if one's doing it, your part's going to work just fine. You have to get that picture. In other words, the carnal way of living and of marriage is by far superseded by the spiritual way. If you choose to live according to the spiritual laws, the spiritual code of conduct of Christianity, you will always win. Always. I don't care what you're up against. Now, you might be isolated and alone, but you still win. Because God is always on your side, and you and God always make the majority. You cannot lose when you have God on your side. I don't care how you feel. I don't care what your wife's like, men. Or women, what your husband's like. Or, Christians, what you think Christianity is like out there. It doesn't matter. As unto the weaker vessel. Now that word weaker, it means more delicate. Hey, when the woman gets mad, she looks pretty tough. And you all know it. I'm not telling you anything you haven't already seen. You girls, y'all get tough. And you scare your dads even. A woman has strength that is scary. But it's okay. That's what it's supposed to be. But men, she's still more delicate than you. Might be only a little less delicate, but she's still more delicate than you. And you're supposed to treat her like that. You mean when she's screaming at me? Uh-huh. What if she threatens me? Uh-huh. Why? Because you are the head of the house. That's a fact. You can't change that. And if you try to get around it, you're going to have problems. It's chaos. And, it says, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. There's the bigger picture. Let's go up to 30,000 feet on that one. Instead of drilling yourself down into a miserable hole of existence, with your worries and frustrations, with your trials and tribulations, with all of your frustrations, go to 30,000 feet and take a look at it from God's point of view. Hey, you're heirs together of the grace of life. Spiritually speaking, that's real. That's going to last an eternity. Whereas the silliness that we go through as human beings sometimes, that's a vapor. A vapor goes, poof, and it's gone. I saw a vapor coming out of my air conditioner in the truck this morning. And I was looking down the road. I kept seeing this stuff. What is that? Then I finally saw it, and it was like this condensation that was just blown. That was kind of cool. It was a vapor. And then after it finished doing whatever it was doing, it stopped and it was gone. There are things in your life that are going to stop and be gone, especially if you get spiritual mind. And it says why. Now, why do you think all the likewises, why do you think all the submissions, why do you think the importance on the Christian codes of conduct that the Word presents? It says that your prayers be not hindered. I believe that one of the greatest activities you can ever do in your life is to pray. And God says that too, because He doesn't want your prayers to be hindered. But He says if you don't do this, they're going to be hindered. Personally, I don't want my prayers. What about you? It's a decision. Black and white. What do you want your life to be like? How much of that more than abundant life of John 10 do you want? It's your choice. I can't control you. And I'm not going to lord over you. I'm not going to give up my crown of glory. Yeah, I get a crown of glory because I don't overlord, you know, lord over you. I'm not giving it up. So you choose. You decide. You work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Demonstrate your holiness, it says. It means work it out. That's your call. You want to revile? You want to threaten? You want to use guile? You want to not submit? That's your business. I love you no matter which way you do. Now, sometimes if it gets real intense, I might go out the back door. Okay. Don't blame, because you probably don't like living with your life either. And I'm not going to stand for it. But in the meantime, I'm not going to browbeat you, because it's not the Christian way. You have your rights. And I appreciate that. I have my rights too. But that's really not why I'm like that. You know why I'm like I am? Because God doesn't browbeat me. He has not once browbeaten me. And I have done some pretty rank things in my life. Yep. I have. But God has never, not once, raised a hand to me. He's not once browbeat me. He's never spoken unkindly to me. Never. And so, I say, well, okay, maybe I should be that way too. And that's why I'm like I am. So that's the real reason I don't come running after people. That's the real reason you shouldn't come running after people. Guile, threatening, reviling, and such. Okay? Wow, this is really an interesting topic, isn't it? This is really neat, because there's so much substance in it that it becomes of more value than the substance of gold. Heirs together of the grace of life? That just sounds better than gold. Okay? Getting along together? Well, that just sounds better than money. Yeah. Feeling good in life? Oh, yeah, that sounds better than a nice meal even. You see, you have to place your values where they need to be. And then it says in verse 8, finally be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. And pitiful means tenderhearted. That comes right out of Ephesians 4:32, where we're told to be tenderhearted, kind, loving one another, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. So, pretty fun, isn't it? You got lots of things to do, you got lots of things to think about, but above all, you want to be accepted in God's sight. Now, you are spiritually, but in terms of how you walk your walk, how you think, how you feel, how you act, now that part's up to you. And He's given it to you. We often underestimate the sheer power and majesty of the human being. We are so awesome. I'm not even talking about Christians right now. I'm just talking about the human being, that even angels look into it. Those spirits, they'd love to be a human being. We're made just a little lower than God. That's phenomenal. It's just amazing. And when we start to look at life from perspectives such as that, maybe it will take our minds off of the drilling in the holes of our despair and show us that, hey, don't you think maybe you're spending too much time over here? Maybe you should come over here now. Do the John 10:10 hole, okay? Live the more than abundant life. Live that peculiar kind of people, that super abundant people thing, you know? We're just awesome creatures. Now you put on top of that Christianity, and you've got an unbeatable combination. And guys, that's all the spiritual side. But on the physical side, the flesh side, why not activate it? Why not turn it on? And for once in your life say, I will not succumb to the carnal ways anymore. The lusts of the life that just distract from the spiritual side. I will not succumb. I'm going to be a spiritual giant, a super Christian conqueror. Because after all, God made me just a little lower than Him. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. So why not act it? So the next time the devil comes and buffets you and tries to beat you into submitting to him, you stand up and you give him what's what. You tell him that in the name of Jesus Christ, get off your back. And you say, I am not going to feel like that anymore. I am not going to act like that anymore. And I'm not going to be bothered by you anymore in the name of Jesus Christ. That's how you put into play the Christian code of conduct. And then you just decide after that. Okay? All right.